Hello, Grace Life Church family. Since last Sunday, we have experienced another week with all the news and all the changes that have gone on with that. But this morning, we're not going to recount all that, but in the face of what we are dealing with and continue to deal with, what I want to do is hopefully help us to stay more grounded in the Lord, and we want to do that by looking at Psalm 121 this morning. So if you have a Bible with you there, Psalm 121. 2 weeks ago, we were in Psalm 46. We saw that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And I want to go back to the Psalms and hopefully find some encouraging truth to help us remain grounded in the Lord. Psalm 121, I'm going to read there in beginning in verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This psalm, Psalm 121, tells us two great truths about God. And these two great truths are intended to stabilize our hearts, to quiet our hearts in the midst of our trouble. And those two truths are that God is our helper and God is our keeper. So I want to look at those two truths together and hopefully from that find our hearts stabilized, grounded in the Lord. First of all, God is our helper. Now, it's hard to know exactly what is going on in the heart of this author of this psalm when he says there in verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come from? Right? Is he on this journey and is he just sort of going down the road on this journey and looking up to the hills and he's sort of kind of thinking this question, you know, where's my life headed? Is it this kind of existential question, what's going on in my life? Or is he sort of thinking, well, he's walking on the road and he looks ahead of him at the hills and he's saying, what am I going to be face? What kind of troubles or dangers might be awaiting me on my journey? Again, it's hard for us to answer that exactly, but we do, I think, get a little bit of a clue here that if you'll notice at the beginning of Psalm 121, there in your Bible, there's a sort of a little editorial note there about a song of ascents. And what that's telling us is that these were a group of songs, of psalms, that the Israelites would sing as they were making their way towards the city of Jerusalem to the temple, where they would carry out these journeys three times a year to participate in the feasts that were located in that capital city. And so these songs would make up the songs they were singing. So if you imagine here, Israelites making this journey and on their way up the hills that were sort of surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and they're singing this song. And as they make their journey, they're concerned about the dangers that they could face on their journey. As they were traveling in the hill country, all sorts of stuff could happen to them on this journey. The hills here represent the possibility of real danger. And if you think about that, in the midst of this journey, there wasn't much help for these Israelites in their day, right? There weren't police sort of watching out for the safety of the public. There weren't medical facilities that if somehow you faced some danger and you got injured that you could be helped immediately. That wasn't the case. There was real present danger that faced these people as they made their journey. And so they asked, as the group of the congregation of Israelites would have asked as they were singing these songs, making their way to Jerusalem, I'm looking up ahead, I'm looking at the hills, and where will I find my help to protect me, to watch over me, to care for me when there are real dangers and real threats to me? And right, we can sort of relate to this as we think about where will we look for our help in our own day, right? We can think about looking to the government. in our current crisis, to hopefully that they would find some solution, that they would be able to make this entire event go away. And we pray that God would give them wisdom in making decisions to manage all this, the situation that we're facing. Or, and on the other hand, we can be tempted to look solely to the medical community. We pray that they would be able to find some form of vaccine or cure to this. But in the end of the day, we don't want to put all of our hope in looking to help to other human beings or other human institutions. We pray for those things. We're thankful that God uses, often will bring help to us in that way. But even as we think about our life, there are deeper concerns that we have, deeper threats to our life that the government or the medical community actually can't meet those needs. In some ways, God does through those means, and we're thankful for that, but not all these things. Can we say truly with the psalmist here in verse 2, from where does my help come? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we recognize that even though help may come to us through human means, even the help that we can find from the government, help that we can find from the medical community, ultimately that help comes from the Lord. And even those things that we need help in that no other human can help fix or repair in our lives, we recognize the help we need in that situation can come from God alone. The help that you and I need to face our current situation with wisdom, with faith, with peace, our help comes from the Lord. And you'll notice that's the phrase that the writer uses there, that the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And anytime you see that in the Scripture, what that's doing is referring to God's personal name, Yahweh. And it's no accident that this personal name of the Lord, Yahweh, is mentioned over and over throughout the psalm. And there in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You notice down in verse 5, twice, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. In verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. In verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. The first thing that the psalmist wants to remind us of, to quiet our hearts in the midst of calamity, is that the Lord, Yahweh, He is our helper. The help that you and I ultimately need comes from Him alone. And so, this is nothing new. In Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. But the question then is, how will God help us? And we can answer that question by answering the question of what does a helper do, right? A helper provides what we need in our time of need. What is it we need? A helper provides that, right? You can think of a dad who grabs his son and has him come out into the garage and they're going to work on the car. And the dad's underneath the vehicle, he's in a tight spot, he's trying to remove something to prepare it, and he asks his son to hand him a wrench, and the son hands him a wrench, and then he needs another particular tool to get a belt off, and the son's there helping his dad. And how's he helping? He's helping by giving his dad the specific tool that he needs in that moment. And at the end of it, if it's been a good adventure, right, the dad looks at the son and say, thanks buddy for being a good helper in this time, right? He's provided what the dad needed in its specific time in order to accomplish the task the dad was about. And God is that way. God provides for us what we need, right? You need wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. James chapter 1, verse 5. You ask for wisdom, and God gives it. He's our helper. We need strength to face the every day that we live. We ask God and He gives it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to give strength to those whose hearts are blameless toward Him. God provides the strength that we need. We need it, we ask, and God gives it because God is our helper. We need our daily bread. We ask the Lord, and He gives it because He is our helper. Whatever we truly need, If we ask for it, God will give it. The greatest way that God is our helper is that He gives us the strength that we need to our faith in Him. And God strengthens our faith through His Word. As we just read here, Psalm 121 is an example that when our faith is weak and we meditate upon the truth about who God is and what God has done to make us His children, then God steadies our heart through that truth. One of the ways that God quiets our heart is that He reminds us that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, He is our helper. And as our helper, He provides for us to meet all of our needs. Two other scriptures that I think are helpful for us to meditate upon this. In Psalm 68, verse 19, the psalmist writes, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up." Think about that. Who daily, each day, God bears us up as our helper. And then Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is our helper. The second truth that is given here to stabilize our hearts in the midst of calamity is that God is our keeper. And as a matter of fact, this is really the main emphasis of the psalm, that God is our keeper. You see, in the face of trouble, we can wonder sometimes what will happen to us. What will happen to me? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my job? What's going to take place? You see, and so God isn't just reminded here that He is our keeper, but we're also reminded, that He's our helper, but we're also reminded that He is our keeper, that He is a keeping God. Listen to this in Psalm 121. "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Over and over again, the psalmist reminds us the Lord is your keeper. In all types of situations, in all the scenarios that your anxious mind can dream up as you're trying to go to sleep, the Lord is your keeper in each of those situations. God is keeping you. We can't miss it. God is a keeper. He is constantly able to keep us because He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's not sort of falling asleep on the job in His responsibility to keep and watch over you in the midst of this crisis. He's not doing that. And it's interesting here that he sort of highlights this thing there in verse 4. "Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber." And sort of bracketing verse 4 and verse 3 and verse 5, he gets more personal in talking about "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." And verse 5, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand." God is the keeper of Israel, and He is your keeper. And what does it mean, if we think about this, what does it mean to belong to God? That's what it means to keep us. We belong to Him. He's watching over us. He's keeping us. Well, to belong to the Lord, among a thousand things that it can mean from the Scripture, here, it means that He who created the universe is watching over you. He is guarding you. He is protecting you. And He is doing that all the time. There's not one second in any day of your existence on the earth that when we belong to God, God is not protecting and watching and guarding over His children. That's what He says there in verse 6. "The sun shall not strike you by day and the moon by night." He's saying anything that bad could happen when the sun's out and anything that bad that could happen when the moon's out, that's not going to take place outside of God's watchful care. all the time this is taking place. Then in verse 7, something happens. Just as when we think about these psalms, they're poetry, they're songs, they're like poems. And in the poems, you have these stanzas. And so in verses 1 and 2 is a stanza, verses 3 and 4 is a stanza, verses 5 and 6 is a stanza, and then the last stanza of this poem, verse 7 and 8. And you'll sort of notice that there, that the editors of the Bible have sort of added space between those different stanzas to help indicate that to you. And just like in a song that we would sing if we were gathered in our regular worship service, the songs that will come to the last stanza and there will be a heightening of emotion. Whether that's in the written page or a lot of times when you're singing a song, they will write the music to modulate. So there'll be an increase in the feeling of that last stanza that you sing together. And that's what's happening here. When in verse 7 there's this a heightened emotion, an emphasis upon this truth of the Lord being our keeper. Notice what he says there in verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your going in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, when you read that there in verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil, you might say, wait a minute, right? What's he saying here, right? He keeps us from all evil? We have to be careful, right? Because the psalmist is not saying to us, he's not promising that we won't ever get sick or we won't have any trouble in our life. Nothing bad's going to happen to us because we're Christian, right? It's not like this, well, because we're the Lord's watching over us, we're not going to catch the coronavirus or nothing bad's going to happen from all the effects of that. That's not what the psalmist is saying, right? As we saw 2 weeks ago in Psalm 46, the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Right? So the psalmist in the Bible doesn't teach that God's people sort of live out their life free from all the troubles and the concerns that the rest of the folks that live on the earth deal with. That's not the case. There will be trouble. We as Christians will face sickness. We will face suffering. We will face heartache. But what we have is we notice the second part of verse 7. Look at that. The Lord will keep you from all evil. And then the second part, He will keep your life. In this poetry, what you have oftentimes is what's called parallelism. The first phrase makes a statement and then the second comes to elaborate or extend upon it. And here, it's explaining what it means. He will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. That's what it means to keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He will protect us in the midst of trouble. You see, no matter what happens to you and I in this world, our life is safe in Christ. If you are in Christ, your life is absolutely safe. It is guarded and protected and watched over by the Lord. He is your keeper. Here, the psalmist is not talking about physical life, right? We shouldn't value physical life as the highest thing that we possess. It's not. It's not the most important thing. What life it is talking about is your real life, right? Your life that goes on after the little dot of your existence ends on this earth. We all notice the fleeting nature of this physical life. And so many of the people in the world who don't have the hope that comes from the gospel, they're grasping to preserve at all costs their own physical life. We as Christians have been liberated from that because we know our physical life is not our highest good. It's not the ultimate thing of value to us. Our eternal life, the life that continues after this world is over, is most important. And that is the thing that the psalmist is promising to protect. In Psalm 121, verse 7, is really saying the same thing that the Apostle Paul says at the end of Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says here, Romans chapter 8, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Not just sort of subsisting or surviving. No, He says we're not even just conquering. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul goes on to say, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Lord is our keeper. That's why Paul could state those types of promises, that nothing could separate us from the ultimate value of being united to God in His love. Nothing can separate us from that. Why? Not because of some inherent power we possess, but because God is a keeping God. He's watching over us. He will keep our life. That's the promise. So for a Christian, there is no reason for a Christian to truly be fearful, to be dominated by that. That's what he says in verse 8. "The Lord will keep your going out and your going in from this time forevermore." From the time now, for all eternity. That's where our hope is. That's where our rest is. That we have a God who is our helper, and we have a God who is our keeper. Think about that. From the moment that you put your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for the hope of eternal life, from that point, forevermore, the Lord is your keeper. That's what he says there in verse 8. From this time forth and forevermore, the Lord will keep you. And so because of this promise from Him, we as Christians can know that we are going to be fine. One day, you are going to stand before God at the end of your life. And you're going to hear Him, if you're in Christ, say to you, "Welcome home." And you are going to spend forever with Him in a perfection and a joy that we cannot fully grasp or understand right now. And why is that? Why is it that we can have that hope, that confidence, that that will be our end? Because the Lord is our keeper. And once we belong to Him, He watches over us. He protects us. He keeps our life from this time forth and forevermore. And so God is calling us as His children to think about these truths about Him, to let our mind be shaped by it. And so I want to encourage you throughout our time in this quarantine to take time to look away from the news and to put our attention right here on these truths about the Lord. Because look, guys and gals here, right? The brief and occasional thoughts about God will not make much difference in keeping a quiet heart in the midst of this situation. It won't work in the midst of any situation that we face. Brief and occasional thoughts about God really are almost worthless. What truly sustains us is returning time and time again to these glorious truths about who God is, these truths, and in this passage we've seen He's our helper, He's our keeper, and meditating upon those truths and not all this other information that's sort of flooding at us and making us think that God isn't, this isn't His world, that He's not going to help His people, that He's not going to keep and watch over His people. That's not true. And so we start thinking wrongly about the situation we're in, about ourselves, and about how God's relating to us in the midst of that. So meditate upon these truths. Soak in them richly until your heart is operating by faith and confidence in the Lord and not in a sort of fearful fit. I want to close with a statement from the Heidelberg Catechism. A catechism was a training tool where they would ask questions about God and then you would provide an answer, and it would be a means of teaching people about the Christian faith. And the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism is, "What is your only comfort in life and death?" And the answer is this, "That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work out for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ by His Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Did you catch that phrase there in the answer that echoes Psalm 121? That He watches over me in such a way that not one hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of any circumstance we can ever face in this life and even in our death, we have a God who is there to help us and who is there to keep us, to watch over us with meticulous detail. God is our helper. God is our keeper. And let those two truths not just occupy your mind as we start this week, but let those truths form your mind and how you receive any news that you receive this week. Let us find confidence and hope in that truth. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to You that we can know that in our lives, in life and in death, we have a hope that we do not belong to ourselves, but we belong to a God who is a ready helper and a capable keeper of the most precious thing we have, which is our very life. And Father, we pray that that truth would wedge itself into our mind and that it would shape and form how we interact with one another, how we interact with our own thoughts, and how we interact with whatever might come in the next couple of days and months as we live out our lives. Father, instill that truth deep in us, that it would truly shape how we go about our lives. And Father, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.